frogs. I like frogs. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, Todd the Corpse clarifies. Rick, I did grow up in California until I was 18. Sarah's also right. Fergalicious is a direct ripoff of Supersonic. And then he quotes, S is for the super, U is for unique, P is for perfection. Because you know that we are freaks. E is for exotic, R is for rap. So all you funky people, just stay the hell back. And then he signs it, yes, I am lame. Thank you, sir. It's 503-733-2970. I didn't even notice the that Pussycat Doll song, Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot. That's a total Sir Mix-a-Lot ripoff.
I haven't heard that Sir Mix-a-Lot song.
Swass, yeah. It was like his catchphrase, Swass, S-W-A-S-S, which stood for So Wealthy and So Sexy. And it was a lot of, you know, Don't You Wish Your Boyfriend Was Swass Like Me. Sir Mix-a-Lot was a badass, was and remains a badass. And I won't say that, and that's not just because he's from my era. There's a lot of guys from my era, a lot of the acts that don't rap and otherwise, who have not aged well, who held up poorly. Slick Rick for one. Too Short is still great, and Sir Mix-a-Lot is still, he's still a Mac, as the kids might say. Rick, Tony Snow sounds like a lot like the moose on Captain Kangaroo. Especially when he just sounds like his house is full of black mold, and he's just sort of becoming like this with every passing day. It's 503-733-2970. We'll be joined in here in mere seconds by Tim Riley for the Ministry of Truth. And then we will revisit the CBS handbook, Words Hurt and Harm, a primer for on-air talent and programming personnel. How to develop greater awareness of and learn to avoid use of racial and ethnic stereotypes and slurs. Why, Sarah, should you be aware of racial and ethnic stereotypes? Because, Sarah, when radio... people judge you by the words you use. And the words you use say a lot about your background, your education, even your intelligence. What radio personalities say on the air apparently significantly impacts the way their listeners perceive people who live in their communities. Given your important role in the mass media, Sarah Dillon and Tia... as on-air talent and programming personnel who support them, you have the unique ability to perpetuate and reinforce racial ethnic stereotypes and slurs.
We have the unique ability?
Yeah! Fantastic. Good at something. You have the unique ability. It's like a superpower. It's like being able to... It's like having X-ray vision, except it has to do with the Chinese.
But this is a building full of white people.
You have it... Really...
Aren't I correct?
You are very correct.
And no, it's true. And really,
I mean, it's not like this is a big melting pot of other white people. It's a big white melting
pot. We're melding a lot of shades of white together to one. I was going to say to create a super white shade, but that sounds unnecessarily Aryan. You know what I mean. When they say you have the unique ability, somehow they've singled us out. It's just us, or Sarah.
But we have more than 10 seconds to speak.
Hey, I haven't seen that thing. Was it given to you, Rick Emerson?
To perpetuate and reinforce racial and ethnic stereotypes and slurs. Or, all this is one of those, the choice is yours. This is like a choose-your-own-adventure, but with epithets. To ameliorate the... ameliorate?
That's like Emilio Estevez.
I thought, see, I was going to go Emilio Earhart. I was going to go that way. I was going to go, you have the unique ability to navigate the Atlantic and be lost. The harm they cause by challenging your listeners' perceptions. Becoming more aware of racial and ethnic stereotypes will help you to properly use the special power you, Sarah Dillon, possess to influence the thinking of your listeners. Okay. And then what is poetry? What is a stereotype, Sarah Dillon?
A preconceived notion of something that doesn't necessarily, isn't necessarily true.
Very good. We'll ask more of these. We'll bring Scotty.
I thought we were doing this after the news.
I'm just giving you this. Like, this is a tease.
I do want to hear more about this.
You want to hear the suburban perspective.
I'm very concerned.
You want to hear the suburban perspective on this, don't you?
Someday we might have ethnic diversity here. I want to know what to do. That does happen.
Someday
there are people who don't look just like
us. Someday in the future, we may have to work with people. Mm-hmm. Now, look, and I'm just saying this as...
No, it's good practice.
No,
it's
listen.
Good practice.
And I don't want to alarm you. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, we should all be ready. Now, someday, we may have to work with people who are not white. And I don't want anybody to be unnerved. by this.
I'm ready. I embrace it.
Well, I know that you may seem ready, Tim. You may believe that you're ready. But one never knows until you get into that situation how you will react. I just want everybody to be on the same page. Man, I want everybody to be prepared for that should it happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying we should be prepared for all these outcomes. It's like being prepared for a fire or a gas leak.
Yes.
You don't want to be caught at that moment asking yourself, how should I react to this?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, Jim, the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Portland has filed a bankruptcy reorganization plan that calls for settling 170 alleged cases of priest sex abuse.
Oh, this really should be a clergy watch.
I suppose it should be.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your, we don't wish to stereotype, but here's your clergy watch.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I gotta have faith.
Father Jack Mossbrucker,
who's the... I'm sorry, Father who?
Jack Mossbrucker, who's the pastor of St. Therese Parish in Northeast Portland.
Mossbrucker?
Mm-hmm. He says the $78 million settlement proposal is just that, only a proposal...
Still not out of the woods.
Really, is that it?
Well, he's the public spokesman for this little problem.
That's fantastic.
That's a $75 million settlement.
Still not out of the woods.
So tired. So very tired.
Pastor Mossbrucker said the creditors and the bankruptcy court still have to sign off on the plan. Not expected before next May, the Archdiocese first in the nation to file bankruptcy protection in July of 2004.
It's a proposal that was hashed out by the two parties, and it's it has some potential.
I'm talking in a low voice because I don't want to wake the children.
Maybe has a gentleman caller.
Don't wake the children.
Mossbrucker says a lot could happen between now and the time all parties sign off on the agreement.
Have you checked the children?
There's still a long ways to go because the plan has to be voted on yet. And so there's, as Shakespeare used to say, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip.
This guy is creepy.
How long has it been since your last confession?
Tell me your sins, child. The sound clips are coming from inside the house. Get out.
That was unnerving. Let's hear that one again.
Because the plan has to be voted on yet. And so there's, as Shakespeare used to say, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip.
Jesus Christ.
Many a what makes the what and the
many
what?
Many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. This is a game I've never played before. Mercy. Not tonight, Bishop.
You see, that's another one. I'll never get tired of that. That's a setup and knockdown I never get tired of.
Mossbrucker is cautiously optimistic.
That's the good news, but I'm not exclaiming with joy yet.
The bad news is that we've raped hundreds of children.
Only 170.
You've got to break eggs to make an omelet. What?
Did you say I'm not exclaiming with joy
that
yet?
That was earlier.
That's the good news, but I'm not exclaiming with joy yet because it's not over.
So much material to work with there. There's really no... I'm not exclaiming with joy anymore.
We had better get the audio of him exclaiming with joy.
Who wants to create that audio? Who really... Who wants to create the audio of him screaming?
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think I'm in the wrong... I was looking for the sacristy. I was just looking for my cassock. Why are you wearing a hood?
You are a very bad Catholic. I fit right in at this point.
I think you do.
That's the damnable misery of it. I right now, I'd be a fantastic Catholic. I don't follow any of the Catholic tenets, and neither do they.
Well, it's a pick and choose type of thing.
It really is. It's kind of like a one from column A, one to two from column B thing. Just like a Chinese waiter.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese waiters are all Catholic.
And they make excellent hairdressers.
It's a proposal that would...
Oh, I was going to do...
Still not out of the woods.
I love the... I'm not exclaiming for joy right now.
Yet.
That's not until the retreat. It's not until... That's not until the parish retreat this fall. Okay. Well, there you go.
That is your clergy watch at the moment.
Not that we're...
Because I got to have faith.
Okay, here's Tim Riley. Good God Almighty.
Well, let's talk about children eating poinsettias and mistletoe.
Well, it's
our latest epidemic.
No, that's, I thought we were done with this for today. This is children what now?
This is children eating poinsettias.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Folks, understandably, are concerned that poinsettias and other Christmas plants are killing children.
They're not.
Don Pettinelli of the University of Connecticut. We have a new university.
Oh, this isn't the Clown College or the Cleveland Clinic?
Right. But she says, go ahead and give them poinsettias. They are harmless, but the same can't be said for mistletoe.
There's many varieties of mistletoe.
I'm Michael Jackson.
There's many varieties of mistletoe.
Why can't you share your bed?
There's many varieties of mistletoe.
His name is Blanket.
There's many varieties of mistletoe. Some are extremely toxic. Some are not, are just mildly toxic. However, if you have a kid or if you have a curious pet, it's better not to have any kind of mistletoe because you don't know which one you have.
Okay, this woman is this a woman?
So save the mistletoe for the office.
Is this... Yes. Do it right in front of the human resources director. wear it around your pants. Hang it from your tie. Just put it right on your belt line.
Hey, little missy, having a cup of holiday cheer. You know, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip.
Here's the thing about this. Is this a woman?
Yes, it is. Her name is Dawn. D-A-W-N, like in the dishwashing.
Dawn is doing that thing that Sarah and I find so disgusting, that you can hear the working of her mouth. You ever hear like a sound bite or like in a commercial and you hear somebody's lips smacking? Does that drive you crazy, Tim?
Well, no, I haven't.
Hearing lip smacking in a commercial drives me insane. It drives me up the wall. When I was like at one of my very first radio stations, like 17, 18, and there was this guy, and I actually went in late at night. I know this is off the topic, but I went in late at night and secretly re-edited somebody else's production. And he was doing this at PSA for, like, a don't beat your kids place. It was one of those, like, if your husband comes home with a tire iron, you know, you can, whatever. And it was like a shelter. It was all well and good. It's fine. But
shelters are good.
But he had this line where he's just like, if you are living a cycle of violence, stop and get help at blah, 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 name of the clinic. And I forget what the clinic was. But he's like, but this is how it sounded on the air. If you are living a day-to-day cycle of violence, stop. And get help at, and it ran like 1,000 times a day. And I would sit there at work by the radio, and I would hear this, if you're doing it, stop. And get help at, that's how it sounded in my head after a while. So when no one was looking, and this is back when you had to do it with a razor blade.
Yes.
I secretly went in, dubbed the commercial down to reel, got out my razor blade, sliced, physically cut it out of the spot and, like, burned it, like, destroyed it so it could never be put back in. Spliced it back together, reloaded into the production, never told anybody. I have never confessed that until this day. Here's Tim Ronnie.
Well, the holidays can be a stressful time of the year. I think we all agree.
Oh, so don't stuff your children full of mistletoe.
Don't do that, no. No, mistletoe is bad. Poinsettias are okay.
But not for dogs.
No. But if served in moderation to children, they are harmless.
Part of a balanced diet. Along with juice, toast, and spread. Randy Larson is a psychiatrist with the Washington University School of Medicine. And she says this is a stressful time of the year, so take a few minutes out and just sit by yourself and don't speak with anyone.
Think of something you can do for yourself. Something maybe that you've been putting off or holding back on, or, you know, something that you really enjoy. And do that. I mean, you know, self-reward is what we call it.
I have some self-rewarding I've been meaning to do. I was going to put it off until later. But apparently I'm supposed to take a few minutes and do it now. Wait.
Think of
something
you can do for yourself, something maybe that you've been putting off or holding back on, or something that you really enjoy, and do that. I mean, you know, self-reward is what we call it.
Try to wait till you get home from work, though.
I was going to say,
please.
I could be in the car in about 3 hours and 15 minutes.
See, and here's, you want to know the anatomy of some humor. I was going to start that off with a...
Something you can do for yourself. Something maybe that you've been putting off.
I was going to go the killing route there. Because, you know, killing is always funny. And it was going to be, well, I've got all this killing I need to do. But it's always work, work, work. Never any time. And then as soon as he used the phrase self-reward, then that comedy in my head had just instantly morphed into something else. That's the anatomy of a punchline right there.
Meanwhile, the holidays are causing more and more women to overeat. Elizabeth Penniman is a registered dietitian with the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, God damn it!
The Cleveland Clinic.
Thank you.
Who has this soundbite, which is
it
number
is still
three.
It's still traditional that most of the women, even though they are working and as well as the fathers,
she sounds fat.
Most of the holiday shopping, baking, and the decorating, and therefore they have that added stress during the holiday time, which can lead to overeating, overindulgence, because it's a coping mechanism for them.
Shopping, over jamming that icing dispensing thing right into your mouth and just squeezing it for all you're worth. Mm-hmm. Who here has shot? Well, you probably. Well, I don't know. I was going to say because you're a vegan, but this doesn't seem real. Who here has just shot the Ready Whip right into their mouth? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, don't lie. You lying sons of bitches. I know you're lying, Sarah.
I don't eat Ready Whip out of... No.
You have?
I have
you
not.
You have? And I bet you've done it within the last 2 years.
I don't think so. I know that you eat spray cheese right out of the can, which is why you're probably trying to pin this on one of us.
But Ready Whip, this is not... We're not talking about
spray cheese.
Yes, together.
You'll take anything in a can and spray.
It's like Tango and Cash. it's like a Tom and Jerry, but, you know, out of a can. You have never, you know, Ready Whip, the whipped cream, you have never in your life.
No, and I can't believe that you're sitting here trying to say that I have.
Because everybody has.
No, I've never been around them, because my mom, whenever she makes pies, like, she'll get the big, canister of Cool Whip, and we'll scoop it out and plop it on the pie.
You have never even used, then, your claim aerosol
whipped
cream.
I'm sure I've used it. I'm sure. I worked in restaurants.
You have never gotten up in the middle of the night, wandered into the kitchen, maybe I'll get a glass of water, ooh, Ready Whip. Right into the mouth.
Are you like a pregnant woman secretly?
Yes. Yes, I am. I want you to call me Loretta from now on.
You get up in the middle of the night and eat Ready Whip?
I am a pregnant woman. The fetus will have to gestate in a box, unfortunately, but yes. Not now, because I don't have any now. We're not at the house now, but I'm just saying in general, in the abstract, everyone has.
In the big picture.
This has been the big picture. Scotty, I know you live in the suburbs. I know you have. Ready Whip right out of the canister? Yes, no?
If he makes some crude sexual joke about him and Mrs. J and Ready Whip?
Like I would do that. Like I would encourage more of that talk. He says, yes, I have. All right, thank you, Scotty. Scotty and I stand
alone.
He has
two children.
Proud, tall, fat.
Not that tall.
Tallish. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there's a new lady in the life of the Italian stallion Rocky Balboa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The sixth and final installment of the series opens nationwide in theaters Wednesday. The character Marie is played by actress Geraldine Hughes, who makes her big screen debut in Rocky Balboa.
She's with him a lot. He does a lot of spewing and talking and doing the Rocky stuff, and she listens and reacts, and, you know, they really begin to grow terribly fond of each other. But he wrote this scene in the van where he's really thinking about fighting in this exhibition fight, and she reminds him.
Is her accent changing as the soundbite goes on? She's Irish.
Him,
she didn't sound Irish at the beginning.
She sounded
other
Irish.
People think doesn't matter, and it's
mother.
A brilliant life lesson.
I'm drunk. No, not that. I mean, all
you're
Irish
stereotyping
people. No,
Rocky Balboa girlfriends here.
What?
So if she is a hairdresser, how would she sound?
All
Irish people go to beauty school.
No. Yes, and build ships. Irish people, not drunkards. All right, I'm going to make a little note to myself.
You failed that test.
Well, she says...
Let me get sent back to the beginning.
The first scene involves her kissing Sylvester Stallone.
To think about being the only other woman apart from Adrian to kiss Rocky. I mean, if I thought about that for a minute when I was doing that scene, I would have ran to the hills.
Jimmy Jam.
Not me, I don't want to do this. But, yes, there were various takes. You know, you have the close-up, you have the...
She sounds adorable.
Shoulder.
She sounds beautiful.
Why are you making fun of the cute little Irish girl?
I'm not. She sounds adorable. I just said she sounds adorable.
Yeah, after you finished calling her a drunk and saying that she's faking her accent.
I didn't say she was faking her accent, but it does seem like it was coming and going, meaning maybe she lost it for the film. I haven't seen the movie.
Why is she kissing Rocky?
Because presumably she's...
his new love interest.
Is there Mrs. Rocky? She might be his new love interest, because Adrian's dead. I mean, everybody knows
Oh, I
that.
Didn't know she died.
But that's not a spoiler. That's like the first scene of the movie. It's like him in the cemetery, like, so you're dead. You know, or whatever. No, I think, in fact, Adrian might have even been dead in Rocky. Like, I didn't see the Rocky V or whatever. Because they're acting like that one didn't happen anyway. So, blah, blah, yeah. So, I don't know. Is she, does anybody have anything to know about her? What's her name?
Geraldine
McGillicuddy Killian?
She's from Belfast, Ireland.
Oh, okay.
What's her name?
Geraldine
Hughes.
I'm Hughes. I'm Hughes.
In an Irish accent,
it'll
be funnier.
I'm Hughes.
It's hard to say Hughes with an Irish accent.
There are words that you can't really say with an Irish accent.
Wow,
is she hot?
Got a big mouth.
Oh.
That may have been corrected.
You have a woman's mouth. They may have given her a good stitching.
Come in for a free tooth whitening at your local dentist.
And to have some of those teeth removed. Okay, hold on. I can look.
Wait, now that I'm looking at her picture, you have to play the soundbites again.
Hold on, I got to look her up and get a close up. Although I can see that mouth pretty well from like 50 feet away. Hold on, Geraldine Hughes. I'm Hughes. I wonder if that'll be funnier if I actually hold on. Hold on.
What are we doing?
No, I'm just testing out the I'm Hughes joke.
Okay.
Hold on.
We'll wait.
I want to be funnier. I'm Hughes. No. I'm waiting for it to.
We'll wait.
All right. What else is... Her mouth is massive.
Yeah.
It's like it goes all the way back to her ears, that smile
she
of hers.
She must be a very talented actress.
And she's...
Well, the Irish are jovial people.
What is... They're all jovial. Yeah, she must be funny or something. She must have a great personality. She's got a five head, too. Yeah. Do we know this is the Geraldine Hughes?
Yeah, one of the pictures
now
I found
you're
was
stereotyping.
Her.
I'm sorry.
One of the ones I found was her on the Rocky site.
Who is... Yeah, this is... And it's a pic... Oh, this is no good. It's a picture of her with Yuri Geller. Geller? I hardly knew her. Okay. Don't get your picture taken with Yuri Geller. It's like getting your... Who's that guy?
Maybe that's just the background at Sears.
Who is that guy, the biggest douche in the universe?
Which one?
That guy. He does that show, John... I'm getting an H. Is there somebody...
Oh, John Hugh?
John Edwards?
John Edwards.
Not the presidential candidate, but the guy who's a douchebag.
The one with the crazy googly eyes.
The guy who's all like, did you ever know anybody who liked water? That guy?
And their name had a P in it.
And they're dead, and you wish they weren't? Am I right? You wish they weren't dead? Okay. Let's see. Yeah, no, she's... you know what she looks like? I'm looking at this picture of her with Yuri Geller. She looks like an older, uglified Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm.
Oh, kind of.
Like, sort of, like the DeVito to Maggie Gyllenhaal's Schwarzenegger in Twins.
She reminds me of somebody who would be on Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Well spotted. Well done. That's completely true. And she's got blue eyes, but brown pupils. Hmm. Okay.
So she's a combination of, Danny DeVito and Maggie Gyllenhaal. I can see that.
Bend over the desk, Danny. I've had it with these spelling errors.
What's the blonde chick's name on Saturday? Is it Amy Mochler?
I haven't watched that since 1978.
Yeah, welcome to 1992.
That's Stallone?
I haven't watched that show in like 15 years. And I'm not trying to be cooler than the room, but I haven't.
I'm just saying, I posted a clip from the
egg.
It's in a box.
Yeah.
On my website. It is. See, you need to watch it because you will find it hysterical. It is so funny.
I don't dispute that. Here's my thing about SNL. A, it's no longer funny for the most part. Hadn't been funny for like 15 years. And that's not like it was just funnier when I was a kid. Because it was the funniest before I was even really around. It was the funniest in the 70s when I wasn't even watching it.
It's funny to aspiring comedians.
Yeah. Even I, too, can get on a television show with no discernible talent and one hackneyed caricature of a character that I run into the ground weekend after weekend.
Adam Sandler.
Exactly. I, too, can do something that's not funny, but through repetition, make it funny by doing it in a dumb accent.
An Adam Sandler Christmas movie this
year? I, too, can wear a cape and people will think it's character development. So Saturday Night Live was losing its punch even when I was growing up. But the thing about SNL is, here's the other reason I never need to watch it. Because I know if something truly happens that's funny, I will get it sent to me on YouTube. That's the thing. The audience is a culling device. They are a culling and sorting device. They throw away the chaff and they send us the wheat via YouTube. So, yeah. So let's listen to this soundbite. Having heard the...
She's with him a lot. He does a lot of spewing and talking and doing the rocky stuff. And she listens and reacts. And, you know, they really begin to grow terribly fond of each other. But he wrote this scene in the van where he's really thinking about fighting in this exhibition fight. And she reminds him of who he is.
I'm calling it right now that
living out of a van, though.
I'm calling it right now that there's no love affair between these two in the movie.
Okay.
Oh, the people wouldn't have it.
What do you mean? Because she's not Adrian?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. I bet that it's a chaste, platonic, inspirational kind of a thing.
There's a kiss, but then they realize they're better off as friends.
Totally! Yes! And I don't know anything about the movie. I don't know anything about it. That is exactly what it is. It's that awkward, just like Wesley and Cordelia on Buffy. It's where they kiss, and then they sort of, and they pull back, and it's like, I've got to go. My house is on fire. My children's away. Or whatever Irish people say. I'm drunk. I've got to go set hair now. No, but yeah, you they totally kiss, and then it's a lot of... Well, it's very late. Yeah, I've got to go punch some meat. Okay, well, then... I'll see you. Yeah, I'll be seeing you. And then
he
leaves...
And then it cuts to him groping a picture of Adrian. Like groping.
What do you say,
like,
groping?
Like holding it and saying that nobody will ever be like her.
No, she leaves. Here's what it is, I bet. We're genius. We could write a movie. I bet it's that they're in the van, they kiss, and then she's all... and then she gently touches his face.
It's going to be unrequited love. Yeah, she's totally in love with him, but he's still in love with Adrian.
And then she's all like, well, I guess I should be going then. I don't know what my accent sounds like, but it's like this. I've got to go.
Yeah.
And then he's all like, yeah, you's gotta go, cause I and then he makes the feeble excuse, I gotta go train, hit a bag, go hit my bag, and then she gets out of the van, and then they show him in the van,
like he's sitting there constantly, and so she gives a look back as she's walking away,
and he's taking out the picture of Adrian, mm-hmm. looking at it, and then I bet they're doing the rearranged, it's like the Rocky theme as the lament, it's the whole like. Like on a pipe, like on a pan pipe.
And she bundles her coat a little closer. Tightens the scarf.
And then
maybe they'll throw in a Rocky Adrian.
And then you
in the van as he's looking at the picture.
No, but
then he puts a single rose on her grave.
But maybe he won't.
The graveyard.
Maybe he won't shout Adrian though. Maybe he'll like whisper it. Adrian. Oh, that's great!
Oh my God, Tim is brilliant though. And then pan to the graveyard.
Single rose on the grave.
And he's gonna win the fight for her.
Totally.
I'm gonna do this for you.
Yeah.
And then there's a tear as he's kneeling.
You know that there'll be Adrian. I'm gonna go the distance for us. Blah blah blah. And then he hugs the gravestone.
I'm sorry, I kissed the Irish hussy.
And then you see a superimposed picture of her head from the 1970s.
She was drunk.
With angel wings.
With a cherub face. You, sir, are a bad person. And then her hand comes out of the earth and pulls him down. All right, it's 503-733.
I'm kind of excited to see this movie.
Just because you want to see that scene.
Yeah.
You have to promise not to laugh.
I'm not going
to
laugh.
No, because if that scene happens, which it will, you have to probably... It's like... Okay, listen. It's like when we were at Aaron's wedding, and the minister who was giving the service said, in front of Aaron's family and everybody, he said, as we take this relationship in an exciting new direction.
Exactly.
And he did. Yeah. I swear to Christ, he did. Totally by coincidence.
Joni, Rick, and I are the only people laughing in the entire theater.
And Aaron thought we had primed him to do it. Aaron thought we had set it up.
Slipped him a fin.
Yeah, slipped him a fin. Because the guy's like, as Aaron and Jen take their relationship in an exciting new direction, and we're all like... And Aaron, I saw Aaron, like, biting his lips, like, full-on biting the inside of his mouth, trying not to cry, or trying not to laugh. When this happens, you have to promise not to be like, pawns, you know, or whatever, like, as he's...
I promise, no, because Nate's such a sucker for the Rocky movies, I'm going to respect
him. I'm seeing it opening night, baby. I am there.
You guys should go together, you could hug each other.
We could make out. All right, it's 5:03. It's so sweet when
you
Rocky...
You kind of took that to a weird level.
No, that's how all of these... That's how all of these fantasies of yours end. And then you and Michael
fantasies
Ian Black...
Fantasies of mine!
We could interview Michael Ian Black on the show.
I said
and
nothing about
kiss.
You kissing.
No.
What's
it's either
wrong
you,
with you?
Either...
Stop projecting your fantasies onto either... me.
Yes, I've
lost... Isn't all the time nattering on about Heather's ample bosoms, but really you're talking about making out with
it's
my boobs.
It's all a distraction. It's all a diversion. It's misdirection. Yes, it's long been a fantasy to make out with your boyfriend while watching Rocky VI. Really, all these years, I've been waiting for Rocky VI to make my move. That's the only reason Nate and I haven't gotten it on so far. I was waiting for Rocky Balboa to come out. Every day, I would watch the movie news sites just waiting for confirmation that special date would happen. I feel all awkward now. God, we are so behind.
You've alienated a few people in my life now.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that. Because people won't go out and buy products now.
Apparently, we have the important role. See, we have the unique ability to perpetuate and reinforce racial and ethnic stereotypes and slurs. Or to ameliorate, as though anyone who will read this book knows what that means. The harm they cause by challenging your listeners' perceptions. All right. And so forth.
We're so behind.
Yeah. You know, it's human nature to be uncomfortable with people who seem different than we are. But see, I'm skipping right ahead to the more you know part. All right, we should take a break. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Dennis Pitzenbarger. We should not have Dennis Pitzenbarger take this test on the air. That's going to end badly. I believe Scotty J will be the one who takes this.
Yes.
All right.
Are we going to do it when we come back?
Did you know this thing about Jewish doctors isn't true? It's 503-733-2970. It's back after this. It is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.